A day passed, then another, and another. 4 days now until the Spartans were due to arrive, and still the deadlock held. The sun sank behind the mountains that rim the plain of Marathon. The moon at last shone full in the August sky. And in the Persian camp, a great commotion, the sound of thousands upon thousands of tramping feet. The invaders were advancing in force at last. Ionian conscripts sneaking across the plain brought the news to the generals. The horsemen are away! Throughout the Athenian camp, men were woken with the news that within the hour they would be advancing against an enemy who had never before been beaten by a hoplite army in open combat. Slaves, charged with the care of their precious armour, duly brought out the burnished panoplies. The naked Athenians were transformed into fearsome automata of bronze. Then, sheathed within their breastplates and greaves, their shields and spears in their hands, their helmets propped back upon their heads, the hoplites took their places in the battle line, standing alongside their fellows from their demes, their thirds, their tribes. It was the custom among the Athenians to serry their phalanx in ranks 8 deep. But Miltiades, fearful of being outflanked by the Persians' more mobile light infantry, and by what remained of their cavalry, ordered the centre to be thinned out so that the Athenians' line exactly matched that of the invaders, now increasingly visible, a mile away, through the early glimmerings of the dawn. With the first rays of sun touching the grey Euboean hills in the distance, sacrifices were offered to the gods. The generals then took up their positions directly in the foremost line. Callimachus, as was customary for the war archon, took command of the right wing. The Plataeans were stationed on the left. The brilliant and ambitious Themistocles, and a fellow rising star of the democracy, Aristeides, led their tribes in the centre of the phalanx, at its perilously weakened heart. Miltiades himself, allotted overall command for the day, stood where all could hear him, pointed to the Persians and yelled out, "At them!" A shimmering of metal all along the line as the hoplites lowered their helmets, hefted their shields, shouldered their spears. Here, at last, was the moment of no return. His head encased now almost entirely within metal, every member of the phalanx found himself frighteningly cut off from the sights and sounds of the battlefield, barely able to see the enemy ahead of him, barely able to hear the braying of trumpets that instructed the Athenians to start their charge. Only the sudden jolting of his fellows on either side and the surging of the weight of men behind him appeared real. Downwards into the open expanse of the plain, the phalanx began lumbering, keeping its formation. All were borne on the dread and the intoxication of the moment as they dared, that August dawn, to move against a foe assumed to be invincible, to cross what many must have dreaded would prove to be a plain of death.